Consent Resources Committee will please come to the order. Let the record show that we do have quorum. And the first bill before us today is SJR 25, relating to the Condit Gold Rush National Historic Park. We have to testify first, John McDermott from Skagway. John, would you please state your name and who you represent as you're giving your testimony for the record, please? Yes, right over here.
Thank you. My name is John McDermott, and I represent Skagway City Council. And really, I think I'd like to just answer any questions you may have, since there was a pretty good presentation on this sometime back when Mr. Elliott, our city manager, was down here with the Inholders Association. And there are a lot of things that are put forth in this SJR 25, which really bring to light quite a few of the problems that we've been having as inholders and as a city with our park service. Some of our main concerns lie within the realm of the land acquisition policy, which came up in a draft form. There's never has been a public hearing on the land acquisition policy, although one was requested, and a letter has come down from Governor Hammond and from Senator Stevens and from Dan Tobin, who was Russ Dickinson's deputy director, that there should be a meeting by last May. And the latest we hear is the next public hearing may be after tourist season is over this fall, if at all. We have had quite a few problems with the Park Service as far as communication breakdowns. Last week, Mr. Elliott, myself, and the mayor of Skagway sat with Doug Warnock, who is the deputy of the Alaska region of the Park Service under Mr. Cook, and we laid some groundwork for a meeting with John Cook, which should be coming up March 26th. We hope to start getting some sort of communication started again between the city and the Park Service. But your aid on this bill would certainly help us.
Thank you very much, John. Are there questions from any member of the committee? We appreciate your being here today. We're getting to be very well acquainted with each other.
Yes.
With testimony from different committees. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next one signed up is Skip Elliott.
Well, as you probably remember, I'm the city manager in Skagway. Everything I've really said everything I have to say about this, but I just want to thank you once again for considering Skagway and for putting forth this resolution. I might point out that since this has come to sort of a head, since SB 36 and this resolution got started, the park has been a lot more receptive to us in Skagway, and I'd hate to see it stop right now. And I think this bill right here would be another little boost for that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Skip. Does any member of the committee have questions?
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Have you still got your treatment plant?
We're considering options on that one.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who wished to testify on SJR 25? Shall we consider all these you'd like to consider one at a time?
Madam Chairman, I suggest that we handle each one as
we go.
Finished with the testimony.
Yeah.
You
is
wish
there
to
a motion on 25?
I move we move it out with individual recommendations, Madam Chair.
Is there objection? So be it. The next bill before us today is SCR 12. Is there anyone here to testify on SCR 12? This is a bill that has gone through subcommittee, so I'd like to have a look. Oh, and your hands go up? Would you please just come up and sign this list and we'll get you going, or else just go one at a time and I'll put it down myself.
Mr. Madam Chairman.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
I am not a wool person, I am a wool man. Go ahead.
You want, of course, this was in the subcommittee, maybe the chairman.
I would like to get it clarified if we're going to take testimony at both levels, there's no sense taking it at the primary.
I had intended to.
Yeah, but I think we ought to make it clear, because that's what we've been making it clear at the subcommittee level, that the testimony would take place there, and we're getting the duplication of testimony here.
I shouldn't have asked then, should I? Okay.
I don't mind that testifying.
Gentlemen, let's just hold up here a minute. I have created the grave error. When I appointed the subcommittee chairman, I made it quite clear to them that we would accept testimony during the subcommittee meetings and not during the committee meetings. Otherwise, we are not doing anything that meets the purpose of the subcommittee, which is to help expedite the work and to try to keep our work moving along. So with apologies to you who are here today, if we did not make that clear, and I just goofed again when I asked for it again, I will tell you that I'm very sorry, but we will not accept when subcommittee bills come to the committee hearings during that time. That would just duplicate our efforts.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would think that if we have a policy like that, we should also then have a policy that every subcommittee would provide a report to the full committee summarizing the testimony of each individual who appeared before the subcommittee. Otherwise, we really don't know what transpired.
Madam Chair?
We haven't reached that point yet.
Well, I didn't mean to get into this debate. I know you have minutes, and since we've done this, we'll make a decision on this as a committee, and for today, with your apologies, I'll go ahead and hear you people if you did not testify there. Did you testify in committee there?
I testified at the subcommittee.
Well, you did, and we can get it for minutes, then your feelings aren't hurt at all then. Okay, well, that's good. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know that. Is there discussion on...
Madam Chairman.
Senator Loss.
This is my resolution, so the chairman of the subcommittee has allowed me the opportunity to say a few things about it. I don't believe there are minutes of that particular hearing. I know it's on tape.
There should be minutes.
I think we can pretty well generalize, though. These people who are here, they testified it at the subcommittee. If I have a different impression than what they were trying to give us at that particular hearing, maybe they'll correct us. But
did you gentlemen hear him?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I guess I should say what the purpose of the resolution is as a result of a number of petitions throughout southeastern Alaska coming into my office and to other offices of southeastern legislators regarding a problem that we've had in southeast for a number of years. Control, which is at this particular time an unlimited fishery, and going through some growing pains, which is, and along with it, a decrease in the resource, it's creating a problem that all of us recognize, and it's not only for the hand trollers. I think we're safe in saying it's for everyone that's in the salmon business, especially in hook and line. I personally think that at the last board meeting that they made a mistake in the regulations that they suggested this coming year. I think that the resolution of that problem, it created more of a problem than it resolved. It's a situation, in my opinion, where they have their recommendations for one gertie and one pole fisheries, you know, it's just not even compatible. They don't fit themselves. An example, I think most people who have been involved in fishery realize that the number one is the difference in speed. You fish lower with a sporkle than you would with a gertie. And it just simply, you're mixing apples and oranges, it just doesn't seem to work. So my staff and myself will spend many hours, matter of fact, probably more time than we should have, tied up, just bogged us down and put us behind on other work. We don't mind doing that, but there's no way we can resolve it ourselves if it's a problem that has to be brought before the fish board. So what we finally did was to summarize the problem as best we could to bring it down into focus and to draft a resolution which would address some of the options that would be available to Fish Board to maybe resolve the problem that they created in January. And essentially that's what this resolution does. It's, it gives a number of options which we would hope that the Fish Board would look into. But I think that we have some, in the course of these hearings, we did bring out some very pertinent information. I think that combination of a better enforcement, a combination of maybe removing some of the equipment off vessels so they would particularly hand gritties. Right now, all reads you vehicle or last season, you could use two of them, but you could have as many on board as you wished. So that alone is an invitation to violate the law. And we had many people tell us that they witnessed violations and that they reported the violations department to the Department of Public Safety. And in most instances, there was no follow-up. There was no enforcement people in the field to apprehend these violators. And if, in fact, there were enforcement people there, the violators would merely cut their lines, and that was it. And then we have the ones that who are obeying regulations by fishing alongside the ones that are in violation, and creates, you know, a bad situation. So we're suggesting that one of the options would be to remove the opportunity by removing the girdies off the vessel, only the ones you're allowed to use. And we're suggesting that we beef up enforcement. That I think on that particular subject, I think enforcement throughout the state is weak in many areas, not only Southeastern. It seems to me that we're building state government, but most of the people are ending up in offices and they should be out in the field. That's an issue we can address at a later date.
Maybe this resolution will bring it to their attention.
We have, since this resolution has been introduced, we've written a letter to the governor and the Department of Public Safety and asking their support in getting more enforcement people in the field. There certainly doesn't make a great deal of sense to have a management program without enforcement. You know, you have to have both. Otherwise, I think you're wasting your time. But the testimony, as I recall, in this particular...
You do have minutes of that.
We have minutes here. Generally speaking, I don't think anybody opposes the board opening up the subject again. I didn't get that impression. The testimony we had, I think, related to the problems that we would create and related to the problems that we have now in the fishery. There's really nothing we can do as a legislature unless we're going to write fishing game laws, regulations in the law, and I think that's a questionable practice. I know from personal experience that I made that mistake once, and I've been trying 6 years to remove it, and I've been unsuccessful. So it tells us one thing, that it's easier to write laws than it is to repeal them. So if we get in that situation as it pertains to fishing game regulations, that you're not going to have a management program. Because politicians do not have the expertise to manage fish and game, even though we are experts, we don't have the expertise to manage. So this resolution requests the board to open up the subject again in March this month and look at these options.
And what is your subcommittee's recommendation on this bill?
Two of us recommended to pass, and there was no rec.
What is the pleasure of the committee?
Madam Chair, I'd move that we move it out with individual recommendations.
Is there objection? Hearing none.
I think I might like to mention, too, for the sake of the other members of the committee, I think those committee meeting minutes on the SGR that we just are intermingled in 140 and didn't get separated by staff on each bill. But you do have the minutes of the committee meeting there.
See, did we not send those out before this meeting? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. Because they look familiar to me, and I see so many of them go by. I know you're like I am. That see so many go by, you wonder if that's the one I went read yet last week or something new. Okay, the next on our list today is SB 140. Who is carrying that bill?
Madam Chair, I am, and I think that there should be in everybody's packet a committee substitute. And I would first move the committee substitute.
Is there objection?
Madam Chair, that the subcommittee held meetings on this bill, public meetings on this bill on February 11th, February 18th, and again on March 4th. And there was public input at all three meetings, and the markup was on March 4th. I think summarizing it, what I'd like to pass on to the committee is that the companion bill or the appropriation bill that goes with 140 of $100 million wasn't addressed in the subcommittee level as to we felt that was basically a finance committee decision. And so there wasn't any time spent on that. But I would like to point out that it did come out in committee hearings, and it's a feeling of the committee that this PAC bill, if you will, addresses about 10% of the total PAC in Alaska. So that it's just addressing a part of the total PAC. We had a, and it also became pretty apparent in the subcommittee meetings that two or three Alaska processors, that their line of credit would use up this total amount. So this created a concern that it may end up with just two or three companies, whether they were, there's nothing in the bill that totally restricts it to Alaskans, but two or three companies could have a demand for 30 or 40 million dollars a piece, and I could name names. It could be Icicle, it could be Sea Alaska, it could be the All Alaska, it could be a number of well-known names that could use it up very readily. And that was a serious concern to the committee. Committee, after testimony, wanted to give priority to Alaska-owned or Alaska-controlled companies. And this is addressed in the committee substitute and has, you should find in your packets, the opinion of Legislative Affairs up there that this is supportable and can be done. Another concern that came before the committee was lending to companies that were controlled or totally owned by aliens. And this also is addressed in the committee substitute. And I guess the committee substitute came out with a kind of a compromise position from testimony that in looking at any company that was over 80% owned. And that is also addressed in the committee substitute. Probably what concerned the committee most and is still left totally unaddressed in this bill is some assurance, some statutory assurance that the small processor is going to be able to participate now or participate in the future. It becomes obvious if two or three companies can use up the whole works and establish a line of credit within the fund, what mechanism do you use in the bill, a legal mechanism that is going to assure us that this year or next year or the next 4 years or 5 years down the trail as a processor is seeking those funds, that they're available to them. And this is still a snag in the bill, and we still are working at different directions, but it was the opinion of the committee, particularly where Senator Eliason and Senator Strzelczuk are sitting on finance, that we would pass it on with that problem, if you will, and keep working with it rather than hold it up at this level, because we've already had it over a month.
Senator Strzelczuk, Senator Eliason, if we pass this then to your finance committee with all the minutes that are with it, we would still have your ear for input on that type of thing.
I'd like to just make up one more point of it too, if I could, Madam Chair, that in the package you'll find also a letter from Commissioner Williams that we had already sent it to drafting. There is one area in there that I think that we should amend the committee substitute to and address, that the committee was in full accord. And we got caught in the language of attorneys. One attorney says it did address it, one attorney says it didn't. And And we had a question mark going in, and we listened to one attorney, and Commissioner Williams says, well, I'm another one coming from another direction. And if you don't clear it up by statute, we'll clear it up by regulation. I said, we'd prefer to do it by statute. And that has to do with the clearly defining that this will be used for inventory financing and not operational. And his letter to us suggested an amendment on page 1, line 15, of the committee substitute, and that would be to delete the word processing of and insert such processor's inventory of canned, frozen, or processed fishery product for the state of Alaska.
Would you mind, Bob, one more time?
Delete on line 15, page 1, delete processing of and insert such processor's inventories of canned, frozen, or processed fishery products, which is in there already. That's the...
Okay. Yep. Thanks, ma'am.
And I would move that amendment.
Any objection? Any discussion? Okay.
When he's finished, I have a couple questions.
Okay. Now, I'd like to point out to the whole committee that the real crux of the problem that hasn't been resolved, and I think we've all been subject to a certain amount of lobbying on this point, is on page 2, line, if you will, line 15, and it's section 2 and 3 under that, line 15 through 18. And it's one of the problems that the subcommittee was wrestling with and haven't resolved, and I believe has an open mind if we find a resolution, was that if there is no fuse on the fund, then is it truly a revolving fund? And two, they felt very strongly that a fuse was needed, primarily so that if the line was committed with good loans this year, mm-hmm. that those loans would probably roll over and be just as good next year, and it would get no new access into the fund from smaller participants that might come along. So we want to be assured that it isn't a case of Commissioner Williams. We trust Commissioner Williams. But we don't know who the commissioner is going to be a year from now or 2 years from now or this type of thing, and we don't know what kind of political pressure the commissioner might come under at some point in time. So we'd like to have some statutory method of creating an opening there where they have to be looked at, and then the Alaska processor would then come into priority and come. Another thing that came in and was discussed in this same area, if you will, was that we could, by statute, limit any one participant's in the fund to, say, 10% of the total fund. That would at least allow nobody to borrow more than $10 million out of the total. But then we would feel pretty badly if we got down the trail in any given year and only 70% of the fund was used up and there was the need for that other 30% or 25%. So this issue has... We haven't found a language that everybody's comfortable with, and we would suggest that it be addressed in finance.
Along that line, this same number 3, I have a question on the 75% with my limited knowledge of the fish pack loans. Would finance committee look at that a little too? As to its implications.
I thought I had a note on it. What's
that's number 3.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Same page.
Madam Chairman, to Senator McKay, on that point, that you know, it's great for finance to look at the issue, and I think it's a problem when you're talking. Number 1, you obviously need the access to the loans. That's important. But the practicality of the market is that it may extend longer than that period of time. Who would you suggest would be the most knowledgeable from all the testimony you heard that you might, you know, get to find a solution or to look at a solution there?
Madam Chair, we have, and we will pass on to you, a number of proposed amendments that may or may not address it to the committee's satisfaction. As late as today, we've got another proposed amendment, and we will be passing these on to the Finance Committee, and you can be assured that I'm very interested in the bill and will be following it on the finance level also.
There are two, three people, Senator Sturzlewski, that I think you could discuss that with. Probably one of the mayors that could help you with that 75% would be those who are processors or are familiar with the loaning process.
I might add, Madam Chair, that they'll probably be knocking at your door.
Senator Lassen's bill. He likes fish.
Senator Lassen, just kind of remember these bills when that coal with the fins on it starts swimming up the creek. Do any members of this committee have questions of subcommittee chairman?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
A couple of areas. In on page 3, where we're dealing with the loans may not be made to fish processors, which are 80% or more owned or controlled by aliens. What, and you had made the statement that 10%, this would meet somewhere in the neighborhood of 10% of the credit requirements. What are we talking about here in practical terms? Are you putting, what does that mean in terms of the people who are out there who would be desiring PAC loans? What kind of a profile would you get because of this requirement?
Madam Chair, it will probably eliminate, and I have to think, that probably 6 or 7 companies that are doing business in Alaska that are very prominent names. A number of them come to mind, but it would be companies like Whitney Fidalgo and some of those that are fairly heavily owned by Japanese aliens.
Yeah. Madam Chairman, could we pursue this a little further?
Certainly.
I mean, the people I've been talking to since on this particular point is that for all practical purposes, those people who are being excluded are not going to take advantage of the market for any reason, because they have, you know, they're multinational corporations, they have cheaper money available through other financing vehicles. I guess you might say it's more of a political decision than anything else.
Madam Chairman, I guess my question was, there's several parts to it. One part that I'm interested in, if you had a limit in this, and Senator McKay earlier stated that you didn't take a look at the total amount of PAC loan financing that should perhaps be made available. There's a lot of factors there. But if you have an 80% requirement in here, and it takes out the really big outfits that are out there, what might be a reasonable request for a total amount of a PAC loan?
Madam Chair, Senator Sturzlewski, we didn't address that, but I'm sure that we could probably supply the Finance Committee with that information.
I think that would be good information, and that might determine the amount. Senator, or Madam Chairman, the other question is, maybe I missed it in your presentation, Senator, the eligibility of floating processors, has that been addressed, or how are they covered under this?
This is a concern that I did miss in the presentation. Senator Sturzlewski, yes, it is. There was a great deal of concern expressed as far as the floating processor and even more probably the catcher processor that are operating, particularly in Western Alaska and the Bering Sea. And this is addressed on page 4, line 23. There was a concern about the word facility located in Alaska, and of course there are a lot of very viable needed.
Where are we now? I've got
line 4 or page 4, line 23.
And the wording is?
It's part four there.
Here? Okay.
And this is the way we approach the definition.
All right, what does this say, of facilities located? Would exclude, it does cover them?
It covers those as long as they're operating in the territorial waters in historic bays. But it wouldn't cover those that were operating, you know, really offshore and processing.
Okay.
If you will, there was a concern of financing the Ballard catcher processor in the Bering Sea.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions? I'd suggest we wait for our chair for the disposal. If I may ask a question, any comment made or question raised about the amount to be put into this fund? Is $100 million sufficient?
Senator, the subcommittee took the position that this was the dollar amount, and whether it was a direct loan or a guaranteed loan program or any plan around with that was basically a finance committee decision rather than our decision. And so we spent most of all of our time addressing 140.
Madam Chair, could I ask you, in terms of your personal opinion, as somebody who's knowledgeable in the area, is that an appropriate amount?
I think that it's a substantial amount, but it's nowhere going to cover the whole pack. But there are other areas, and this will put funding available. As I indicated earlier, this amount would cover approximately 10% of the total financing needed for the PAC. We didn't address just what part that 80% excluded, but there's still going to be a demand above and beyond this that's going to be addressed in the commercial area, I imagine.
Madam Chair, you don't feel that this will...
Do I think
10% is, well, let me put it this way. Do you feel that 10% is adequate in terms of potentially needed state assistance to fisheries this coming season?
I think it's substantial, but I don't feel that would cover the total tax, Senator, if that's what you're saying.
No, I don't mean necessarily cover the total pack, but cover the need that will be out there that might not be adequately met through other channels.
Senator Fisher, it seemed to be the feeling of those who presented the bill at the first of the year and of the what communication we've had from third floor that it would be adequate.
Thank you.
Senator,
maybe sort of generalize what we're talking about as far as the program. Number one, it's not a subsidy, like we said. Mm-hmm. Number two, we recognized that before we started, and also that we built all the safeguards we could find into protecting the state's money, and we were very concerned that the people, the ma and pa operations, would be able to be involved, take a part in this program, which was some limitations we put on the ma and saloons and about these floating processors who are a number from Alaska, who are not do not have shoreside facilities, which should really be a part of this program. So we address that issue. But on the other hand, too, we know there's going to be a lot of money out there available at for a cheaper interest rate for other processors who are not going to read and look at this program.
Madam Chair, I would only like to comment that my concern was not that we're subsidizing or throwing money away. This looks to me like a very good program and one that is financially very sound. And that's why I thought that this is one time where if we need more money, it might be a good place to put more money if it were actually needed by the industry. But if not, if you say it's
I think we're comfortable at this point in time.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Are there other comments or questions from members of the committee?
Madam Chairman.
Senator Gill.
I feel compelled to say the same thing I said in the subcommittee meeting, I still have not reconciled myself in this loan package. Just how really the small processor is going to benefit from the answers that I've gotten from the Revenue and Governor's Office and other members is that it is not an operational loan program. The small processor that may be difficult in getting securing an operational loan may not benefit from this program.
Since it is a PAC loan and not an operational
loan. Since it is a PAC loan, that's right. And I understand what the purpose is. I have no argument with that. But I'm looking at it very specifically from the district level, where we have had an awful lot of problems. As you know, we had testimony before this committee on small processors that haven't made it. Maybe we're getting into the cold, hard reality and facts of maybe there are some processors that have never been made. There isn't anything we can do about that. But I still have some reservation. I do not understand how this is going to help the small processors.
Madam Chairman.
Senator Sturtevant.
Senator Gilman, just to follow that a little bit further, I'm trying to, I understand that some of the concerns that have been raised in your area, and we had the presentation on ARC and so on. But if we have CFAB and we have ARC as a source of capital, we still have that block there, the operational dollars that can create some problems. But are you seeing this as possibly taking dollars and making a segment of the industry strong and not taking care of another segment?
No.
I'm trying to see, are we
no,
competition
I
for dollars
all,
or what?
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I'm not saying that at all, Senator Strzelczewski. I'm saying that what I have heard is that the strong segment can probably have the enjoy the PAC loan, because the strong segment can get their operational money in the normal procedure, and then this is a takeout, if you wish, on the PAC at a reduced interest rate. But my comment is, for that other 10% or whatever it is of our processing that may not get the operational money or has difficulty getting the operational money. If they can't get the operational money, they can't have a PAC.
Could it be, Senator Gilman, that being able to get the PAC money would free up operational monies?
Yes, I think that's a possibility, but it still requires participation. The banks, and the banks are prudent lenders, and they're not going to lend money to companies that have problems. Same thing with CFAP. They are not going to lend money to a high risk.
Madam Chairman, I was, take a look at this particular program, not only for processors, but I'm certainly aware of the problems the processors are having in Alaska, and the whole industry is in trouble, not only the processors, but the fishermen themselves. But a number of times I've been told that it really isn't a processor's bill. What we're looking for is a market for the fishermen. Now, that's where I'm coming from, So if we help the processors too, that's fine, but basically I think we have to have a market for those products, or else we're all out of business.
Madam Chair, I fully understand what Senator Gilman is talking about, maybe some consideration should be given to separate legislation that addresses the upfront needs of, let's say, the smaller resident processors, which also would benefit the fishermen very directly by providing the means for buying fish, but also importantly, it would possibly more directly in this bill, would encourage more the establishment of more domestic processors, Alaska domestic processors, and unless my fishermen friends think that it's undesirable, I would certainly like to see us in the direction of possibly creating some kind of a fund or some kind of a program that would accomplish Senator Gilman's objectives.
Well, Madam Chair, I think there is a possibility that legislation already exists, but I do want to point out that I had those concerns, but it is hopefully it will benefit the fishermen, regardless of where they are. And I think the bill should be moved, and I would so move.
Is that with individual?
And as amended, the committee substitute as amended.
Committee substitute as amended.
With your leeway, then I will pass on to Finance Committee all of the suggestions in the and minutes and things in the packet, so it's there for their consideration. And would ask that those of you who are on the Finance Committee address that 75% and the other concerns that have been expressed here, and wish you luck with it.
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
I would hope that Senator Lyson would hopefully ask for the bill, and I'd be very happy to help in those two areas if I could, to try and get some clarification or, you know, several areas in there of wording. There should be an answer to that.
Yes, I would hope that when you get the bill, and also send it right away, you can not only you maybe find time in the finance so we can get something else.
Is there further discussion? Is there objection?
Well, Madam Chair, I would move SB 41 with individual recommendations.
141?
141.
Is there objection? Is there anything else come before the committee today?
Madam Chairman?
Yes.
Just on 141, I'm going to be a no rec on that, because I really would like to get just for Senator McKay, I'd like to get some feeling of what kind of market demand there may in fact be if you've written in, you know, the prohibitions. I don't know if you can get a handle on that or not.
One of the things that enters into it, and I don't think we can, is I think about it a little further, Senator Strzelewski, that came out in the committee hearings on it, is the with the 3.75% tied above. We looked at it with Commissioner Williams, and also prior to that with other testimony, the money market, if you will, the prime rate market, the different lenders get a different tag into it, 1 point above or 2 points above, and is a very curving thing. And
I've never heard of curvy interest rates.
Well, it goes up and down.
Fluctuating.
And as it goes up and down, there could well be half of the year when it would be more attractive, if available, just on interest rate, maybe not in the availability month, but the rate may be more attractive. And so if a person had the availability through the commercial entity, the rate could, 6 months out of the year, depending upon how, where these curves cross, be more attractive. Another thing that was pointed out, that some of the larger corporations might go to commercial paper, which is even better and a more attractive rate. So it'd be awful hard to really plug in just what the demand is going to be.
Senator Strzelewski, on this, looking at that 12-year, there have been concerns expressed, and I'm sure you'll find them as you go on making sure that we don't set limits on the time frame that would cause fish to have to be sold at, or the pack to have to be sold at a bad market time. Yes,
Senator. Madam Chair, on the different topics, I received the wire, and I assume other senators did too, from the Alaska Sportsman's Council, Isaac Walton League, and well, the two of them, regarding National Park Service proposed rules that exclude Ketchikan, Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks residents from engaging and subsistence uses, specifically exempting the residents of those four communities. I don't know if others have received those, but I was wondering if anyone is pursuing that as a staff.
as a second-class citizen, we're kind of looking at.
Can I just defend a response coming? Thank you.
Well, that might be one way to solve our subsistence problem, Cook Inlet.
They tried that already.
Anything else come for the committee?
Madam Chairman?
Hank?
I would like to know, what is the process of entering testimony into a subcommittee or a full committee hearing here concerning bills that people have put the evidence concerning?
Well, now, Hank, you were signed up today on 140, right?
141 both.
Yeah. They'll be going from here to Finance Committee. And if you like, we can pass your whatever testimony along with it, or they'll be holding hearings on it. And at that time, just sign up and go right on in.
Well, I was wondering, there is, a question here that maybe would require referral to judiciary on the application of this loan to third-party parties. And through this committee, there's quite a few investigations going on past policies of the state and loaning that actually enters into the restraint of trade and possibly into a antitrust. Now, what I would like to have on this is maybe a referral, if possible, on the judiciary concerning the first-party title holder's rights to loans to allow him to have direct market or access to second-party end users. And I would love how we get this into this discussion to keep the state from falling into the same trap that it did last year.
Madam Chair, why don't we have Mr. Ostrowski write out the question and allow us to send it on to our legal section for a response. Just frame the question and we can do it.
Part of the framing.
There's still going to be.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Hank gave me something written out, but I assure you that I didn't know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that you ought to explain it if it's to be.
All right. I gave it to Mr. McClay. I thought it was judiciary, and I thought maybe it would be in your file there. And I think that this should be addressed by the full committee and on 140 as well as 141.
Do you want to get this to Dick and see if we can't just ask a question?
Dick, would you take that up with legal and see what the aspects of that are? And do you know Senator Lyson and, and the people of the Finance Committee, so they'll.
Are we all?
Anything else?
130 on Monday?
130 Monday.